to Reuse on Replay with the Reusable Packaging Association.
Good afternoon. My name is Todd Hoff, and I'm with the Reusable Packaging Association. The RPA is focused on accelerating the adoption and optimization of reusable packaging systems through both education and industry advocacy. Today, I'm joined by Eric Chambers. He's the Director of Sales for Rarick Pacific. Rarick Pacific is one of our member companies and is part of the RPA's Retail and E-Commerce Workstream Committee. This workstream in the past few months published a white paper on the how of reuse and is now publishing a series of blogs about some of the key learnings from that white paper. So, Eric, I wanted to thank you for joining today. And perhaps to get us started, briefly introduce Rarick Pacific and also your role and some of your experiences you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks, Todd, for having me today. So Rarick Pacific is an industry leader in the waste recycling and supply chain solutions field. So really, we're manufacturing reusable packaging products. We provide also another array of solutions from material handling to technology to services, right? Really tying in that circularity story. Ultimately, though, Todd, our focus is to help our customers move goods, ideas, and resources in the most efficient and responsible way. I've been with the company for a little over 13 years, so I've done a little bit of everything, but certainly working with customers in the retail e-commerce space is primarily where my responsibility falls. As you mentioned, I'm the director of sales here for our logistics solutions team.
Great. That's a great introduction to you and your company. So maybe to get us started today, kind of first question is, in your experiences, what makes an excellent reuse application in the retail space today? Maybe it should share what you think makes a good application and maybe some examples that you've seen or have worked on.
Yeah, absolutely. No. So I think, you know, first and foremost, right, when you're looking at a reusable, there is going to be a cost associated with that. And you want to be able to protect that capital investment that you're going to put into it. And I think one area of focus is understanding your supply chain characteristics, right? So when you're shipping that product, whether it be upstream to a retailer or certainly a retailer down to a store, what mechanisms or what processes and procedures do you have in place to ensure that you're going to get that asset back, right? So that could be anything from just incentivizing drivers or putting some sort of technology, making your asset smart to track that asset. And then once that product is shipped, you certainly want to be able to have something in place to be able to get that asset back. The idea is to continuously keep reusing that asset over and over and over again.
Right, right. Completely agree. So one of the learnings in our white paper was really, you know, we interviewed our member companies and their experiences and kind of came up with the top five areas for reuse. The first you just mentioned was supply chain characteristics. Number two was if you as a retailer or manufacturer have issues with product damage or product loss, reuse might be a good option. The third was really the volume of goods. I mean, what size or scale makes for a good reuse application? The fourth was, again, about retailers looking for solutions to reduce their solid waste or savings in their cost chains. And the fifth was really around this emerging goal around sustainability goals and closing gaps. So maybe we could go down one more level, Eric, into kind of supply chain characteristics. What are some of those? You mentioned some of them, but around the supply chain characteristics, what are those from your perspective, those top two or three areas that a retailer or e-commerce or their ecosystem partners should really focus on around the characteristics of their ecosystem?
Yeah, so I think, right, to your point, certainly, again, as we mentioned, that asset control. I'd also go and say, you mentioned product damage and product loss. Sure. I think the question, right, you want to ask yourself is what's the problem that you're trying to solve, right? If you're shipping a good, are you experiencing issues with product damage, right? You want something that's a little bit more rigid, a little bit more sturdier, that's going to be able to protect those goods. I think at a retail level, when you're shipping down to a store, for example, you might be looking at efficiencies or some of the labor challenges that you're experiencing. So in my experience, whitewood pallets are always brought up as a point of conversation. You know, when you're dealing with wood, whether it be exposed nails or the efficiency gains that you can get with a nestable type of solution when it comes to a pallet. So I think that's definitely an area that you want to be asking yourself, of what's the problem that you're trying to solve first and foremost as you think about the investment that you're going to make?
Right, right. A lot of our member companies, again, talk a lot about product damage. Specifically, yep. you know, how do we make sure those goods heading to the retail and e-commerce supply chain, or really any supply chain, how do you make sure products are not damaged during that shipping process? And reuse provides a lot of value in those type of supply chains, whether that be fresh produce, product damage, or physical damage from things like to your package, your primary packaging, or even secondary packaging.
Yeah, and I think we see, Todd, and to a little bit expand upon that, you know, you think of things like eggs, for example. You know, we work with, you know, pullers that are pulling those assets today, an egg crate that can help reduce egg damage by 50 to 80%. So to your point, right, having something a little bit more rigid where you can put your asset in there and know that it's going to be protected once it gets shipped to the end user.
Sure. And again, I would imagine that not only saves product damage, but it also saves cost and waste in the supply chain. Because if only half of your goods are making it to market, you're spending all that time and energy to only lose half of it. So the idea of using reuse and reducing that product damage, whether that's a physical product or a fresh type or produce type of product, that I imagine would add up to significant savings.
Yeah. So to your point, right, is thinking about once that asset is shipped, you know, what's happening to those packaged goods. So if you look at corrugated or shrink wrap, right, being delivered to a retail store as that employee is merchandising those items, what are they doing with that, right? Maybe they're throwing it into the trash and it's going to the landfill. Maybe they are baling it, but there are certainly costs associated with having to handle the logistics aspects of handling that material, making sure that it gets sent out to the proper channels. So with a reusable, be able to ship that asset down at the end of the use of that asset, breaking that asset down and getting it back for reuse. And certainly too, at the end of the life of that asset, being able to get it back to somebody like Rare Pacific where we can grind it back up and put it back into our products.
Right, great. Just a great example. One question that I've heard brought up in the past is, so what about the volume of goods? How small is too small? I mean, what is that ideal size, or is it really dependent on a specific supply chain? But what is the right size for reuse? Can you do hundreds, or is it thousands? Is it tens of thousands or millions? What's your experience around kind of the size?
That's a good question. And I think you kind of hit a little bit of the nail on the head of it depends, right? I think it depends on the supply chain, but I think some of the things that you would want to consider and evaluate, right, is the cycle time. You know, how often are those assets going out? How far are those assets going out? And again, when you're shipping any sort of product, what mechanism do you have in place to be able to recover that asset? So sure. Really it's going to come down to the justification around the cost and then looking at what that return of investment may look like based off of the use case. And we certainly have the ability to be able to look at what that might, what you might need ultimately from a float size perspective.
Sure, sure. I think in my experiences, I know there are poolers, a pooler can help you kind of find the right spot versus actually making your own investments in a reusable asset system or pool of systems kind of thing. And I think there's a good balance depending on what specific need in the market may exist.
Yeah, and I think when you, Todd, as you mentioned, in regards to poolers, right, one of the things that we're looking at or what we're evaluating is what I would consider open loop or closed loop, right? So if you want to get into a reusable space and maybe you're shipping an asset out to a customer and you're not going to get that back because you have no means from a transportation perspective to get that back, maybe partnering with a puller is the best solution. If you have the means where you have your own transportation, you're delivering to either a plant or a store of your own, you have something in place where you're able to bring those assets back, that's also an option. I'll also give a little bit of a plug, right, is that Rarick Pacific does provide services. So we do have the ability to provide those reverse logistics services if that is also a need as well.
Yeah, great, great examples. Kind of the fourth area from that white paper was really around solid waste reduction and really the cost savings piece. You know, I've read recent reports where a large amount of corrugate is either landfilled or not fully recycled. So, and I also spent time in warehouses during COVID where the amount of corrugate was just overwhelming the warehouse, just the amount of waste that was generated during that time. I'm curious your thoughts about replacing kind of alternative materials such as corrugate or other type systems with reuse. What has been your experiences?
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly seen a lot of success in playing within that space where we are working with customers that historically were using maybe a corrugated kind of box and sleeve. Think of stuff within the beverage space, for example, right? So delivering that down to a storefront, you have an individual that's merchandising, cutting open that product, shelving it, and then ultimately you find that kind of building up at a store. Right. And there's very limited space within the back of those stores. And what tends to happen, right, from an employee perspective is they end up just pushing that out. Right. I don't have space, so let me just throw it in the trash. And yeah. So with some of Rarig's solutions within the beverage space, like our beverage shells, it allows our customers to be able to ship that product directly down to a store. They can merchandise it too directly onto the shelf. And then at the end of it, get that asset back and reuse it over and over again. So really trying to eliminate any of that waste that's being generated, typically what you see in the back of a store.
Sure, sure. I also know, you know, a lot of retailers in their sustainability reporting also talk about getting rid of that waste that's moving through their stores, but also their warehouses and supply chains, which is, I think, a very important goal as retailers focus on those areas.
And we're starting to see that more, right, Todd, is that sustainability is on the forefronts of a lot of our customers' minds, right? How do we improve that? How do we look at ways to, again, increase those efficiencies, but also reduce that waste? And when you think of a reusable asset, the idea is it's reusable, right? To be able to get that back into the supply chain, to be able to use it at the end of the life. And then once the asset meets a certain point where it can no longer be reused, sure, then what can we do with that specific asset? And as I mentioned, to be able to then grind that specific product back up and tie it back into that circularity story.
Right, right. No, that's very much part of reuse is how do you at the end of life reuse it back into the same reuse or similar reuse type systems?
Absolutely.
Talking about sustainability, maybe a little bit more, you know, as retailers are now moving beyond scope one and scope two type of measurements, they're looking more at scope three type measurements. I'm curious, what has been your experience, you know, as a retailer now is looking at their supply chain and their supply chain partners, whether that be a transportation logistics company, or it becomes their manufacturer or a supplier to a manufacturer to a transport that moves to a retailer. I'm curious on your experiences around retailers now looking at kind of scope three emissions and how they're measuring things like solid waste, food waste, or even carbon emissions by using reuse. Have you heard this from your customers? And what are they thinking about when it comes to sustainability and scope three?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely been a part of a lot of our customers' conversations today when we look at, you know, what can Rarig Pacific do specifically in helping, you know, address some of those issues or concerns, or at least to their goals in regards to sustainability. And so, again, you know, when you look at certain reusables, depending on what is being used today from a one-way packaging standpoint, how can that asset help us reduce our carbon emission footprint, right? Is it lighter? Is it, again, more durable? We want to help address any product damage, any freight, fuel efficiency gains that we can get from maybe a lighter product to get more product onto a truck, less trucks on the road. So those are things that we're looking at when it comes to our specifically reusables, as well as even some of our material handling equipment that we're injecting in the supply chain today.
Right. Right. You know, some of the examples that some of our member companies also talk about are things like, you know, by using a reusable asset, I'm creating less product damage. So I'm throwing away less food. That means I have to not waste water or fertilizer and all the things to lose it during the transportation process. So again, we see and read retailers in the space and some of our reuse member companies talking about how to, again, get rid of product damage, but then all the effort it takes to grow a product or food or manufacture a product also fix those savings.
And we're even looking at too, Todd, even from a manufacturing perspective, right? So as we look at our plants too, we're keeping all of those things in mind. So that way, when we're sharing with our customers or certainly opportunities that are out there, some of the things that we're looking at to align and tell that story.
Right. Good. Maybe just one last question would be, as you think about reuse in retail, what are some examples of innovation that you see happening maybe for Murek Pacific, where you're looking at, again, not just reducing damage, perhaps impacting labor or being more efficient? What are some of the innovations that you and your company and team are working on to kind of take reuse to the next level? What would some examples be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I'm obviously a little, I'm bullish, but also very excited about some of the things that we have going on here at Rarig. So not only, of course, within the reusable space, but I mentioned kind of our material handling equipment that's really focusing on that last mile delivery. You know, we're leveraging how our customers are delivering goods today. How do we make that more efficient? We recognize that there's challenges within the labor market today. And so one of the things that we want to try to do is open up that labor pool, right? Be able to give a little bit more of the hard work, right, that's going into that last mile delivery to kind of alleviate some of the pains and challenges that our customers are facing. I think some of the other things too that we're focusing on is how do we leverage AI technology, right? Or certainly looking within the tech space to help our customers ensure that the orders that are being picked at a warehouse are accurately going to the end user, right? So 100% order accuracy picks, being more efficient within the warehouse space. So we're really focusing on challenging that status quo. How we look at things, being a trusted advisor for our customers. That's really what we'd love to accomplish. You know, we'd love to sell you a reusable, but if it makes sense, great. And if not, we want to put you in the right direction so you're making the best business decision for your company.
Great. I think all of those are good examples of innovation, of not just of the asset, but how do you use AI, how do you use knowledge, how do you use material handling to actually better manage reusable assets in truly a full view or full ecosystem of a reuse system, not
absolutely
just a physical pallet or box or crate type application. So good. Well, again, thank you very much, Eric, for spending a little bit of time with us today. Again, to our audience, this white paper is available on the RPA website. That's reusables.org. If you click under library, you'll find this able to be downloaded. Also on the Reusables website, you'll find our Reusables Marketplace that has our member companies such as Rarig Pacific and many others that can help you find a reuse type application that best fits your application. Thanks again, Eric, and I appreciate your time today for doing this brief interview. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you having me.